In the name of the one who encourages us to move on, move ahead, engaging in hope in God's promises. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you catch the opening lines in Isaiah? Have you not known? Have you not heard? God does not grow faint or weary. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Those who call on the Lord shall have their strength renewed. But the lines that struck me even more were these. Has it not been told you from the beginning, from the foundations of the earth? There it is. There is no excuse. I can't say I never heard about God's concern for all of us, each of us, especially when we grow weak and weary. And then we heard in Psalm 147, God's powerful presence. The psalm opens with hallelujah. It goes on to tell of all the things that God does. He rebuilds, he heals, he lifts up the lonely and calls each one by name. Verse 5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. There is no limit to his wisdom. And then the psalm finishes as it begins with hallelujah, exclamation point. Phew, we can take a deep breath, knowing that God isn't done with us yet. We are certainly on another learning curve. For in this past year of isolation, we've been forced to stop and figure new ways. We are well aware that life will not return to us the same. All paths lead us forward, no matter how prone we are to dragging our feet. So we pray for God's wisdom, vision, and perspective. One author recently wrote, while this journey presents us challenges, they are far outweighed by its opportunities. He goes on to say, I am reminded of those two proverbial individuals in a small cell looking out at the small, same window. One sees bars and one sees stars. One sees the bars, those metallic reminders of reality. But the other one sees stars beyond the obvious, envisioning a new future of what can be. As Becky mentioned last week, she, Chuck, and I are reading a book entitled We Shall Be Changed. There are a series of articles written on the various questions for the post-pandemic church. And I'm finding these different articles not only enlightening, but affirming, with personal anecdotes and sprinkles of humor, too. The following is an example written by Molly Baskett. She's a senior minister at the United Church of Christ in Berkeley, California. One question she asks is, how do we hold our center when everything around us is changing? Well, she writes that a friend of hers has embroidered the Beatitudes and adding one. Blessed are the flexible, for they will not get bent out of shape. Going forward out of this pandemic is requiring us to look at and do things differently. At first, our efforts require much of us, but rigidity will only hold us stuck. Moving forward offers us unforeseen opportunities, companionships, creativity, great and surprising rewards for our willingness. Molly is quoted here. Think bike riding, dancing or surfing, muscles requiring constant recalculations so the body can stay vertical. It takes serious effort and intention at first, but later becomes second nature as the body and mind work together intuitively to adjust. End of quote. The old way of doing some things can destroy us. But just think, had this pandemic not happened, we might never have discovered something different, something new, like going to church at any hour in our jammies. We depend upon God to encourage us to find new ways. Look at how it happened in Mark's gospel long ago. Jesus had finished teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he and his disciples arrived at Simon and Andrew's house. There is Simon's mother-in-law in bed with a fever. Jesus took her by the hand and helped her to sit up, and she was healed. And so like a mother, she served them. I would think out of energizing thankfulness, she served them. Well, here in Mark's story, Jesus took her hand. But in Matthew's story, Jesus touched her. And in Luke's story, he spoke to her, and the fever left her. Each gospel writer expresses different details in a situation to show us a more complete picture of Jesus. Mark, in each healing story, emphasizes Jesus' power is being made possible through Almighty God. People at that time knew these dramatic stories, and following the Sabbath customs, they wait till just after sunset and come to crowd the doorway at Simon's house. Jesus extends to all those burdened with diseases and demons the power of God's healing, just as they knew he would. Interestingly, Jesus understands the whole dimension of illness, which causes us instability, often driving us inward. And no matter the circumstances, we soon tire of trying to go it alone. These people reached out for help, and Jesus responded. Can you imagine how these people, being newly healed, how they must have felt and how they reacted? It's no wonder that Jesus' healing stories, the news, spread so quickly. Through the stories, ancient and recent, we hear examples of improbable and seemingly impossible circumstances being healed and restored and created brand new. We are now in Black History February, and the stories from the past and the present instruct and hopefully empower us into more humane actions. Recently, I was most taken, along with the rest of the world, with a young girl's blossoming into God's articulate messenger. Amanda Gorman is only 22 years old and the youngest inaugural poet of the United States. Amanda was born and raised in Los Angeles. She has an older brother and a twin sister. They were raised by a single mother who worked as a middle school teacher. Amanda followed her mother's example and encouragement as she was accepted into Harvard University. She studied sociology and graduated just this past June, class of 2020. Being nominated and accepting this recent challenge to speak to the nation, Amanda explained she initially struggled to write more than a few lines per day. She expressed her initial concern in an interview with the New York Times. I had this huge thing, probably one of the most important things I'll ever do in my career, she said. It was like, if I tried to climb this mountain all at once, I'm just going to pass out. Amanda knew about challenges. She had to work to overcome a speech impediment as a child. She explained that she had an auditory disorder that caused her to hear and process information differently than other people. She now believes that the disorder may have enhanced her skills as a writer. I don't look at my disability as a weakness. It made me the performer that I am and the storyteller that I strive to be. Gorman explained that her poetry focuses on social change and justice because she feels she has a duty to use her voice. That passion comes from my heritage. I must speak up because there have been too many people who have been kept from that opportunity. Gorman has also written a children's book called Change Sings. She explained in social media that she wants the book to serve as a children's anthem, to remind young readers that they have the power to shape the world. She served as the host for a PBS Kids special about racism in October 2020. And one piece of advice I have she says, is that we often don't give kids enough credit for their intelligence, particularly their emotional and moral intelligence. She says the children of today are ready to have the deeper conversations. Through the insight and the wisdom of this young woman, we see the living, breathing signs of God's hope working among us, inspiring us at all ages, across all barriers, to boldly reach for the stars. Finally, listen to a line from her inauguration poem and envision her speaking personally to you and me. Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. We are striving to forge a union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions. End of quote. God creates, God instills, God equips, God strengthens, God dreams for us and through us. Hallelujah! Exclamation point. Amen. Forever God.